He is not Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
Hi, Jill. How was your weekend?
You had fun.
I had fun.
Because an enthusiastic Dutch guy.
No, I'm not Dutch.
An enthusiastic Belgian.
I have some Belgian origins, but anyway, that's a long
story. An enthusiastic low country type is really different than, let's just say, an enthusiastic Italian. So,
oftentimes on this show we talk about nitty-gritty little stuff and the practicality of cars and car prices and the cost of owning them and how to pay for them and where's the future of cars and
it gets grim. It's not as fun.
You know what? Here's the good news. I think the future of cars, from what I saw this weekend, is pretty good. I think the car culture is alive and well.
And this, I just want to interject for one second. If you pay attention to the news, you get the idea that many things that are alive and well and fun actually aren't happening at all.
Right. So, and there's this columnist I follow on a regular basis on the web, a guy called Peter Di Lorenzo who writes a column on a website called the AutoExtremist.com. Anyway, Peter was going on last week on a rant, and his column is called Rants, going on about the whole concept of hypercars, hypercars being the ultimate sports cars that select manufacturers put out and in very limited quantities. And he was very much doom and gloom, like he is about a lot of things, in saying that there was no use for such cars. And it is true, we're seeing cars now that make 1,000, 1,500 horsepower. I mean, it's just insane. And really, there is no practicality and no use for them on the roads.
However, you
have to look at it from another angle. And this weekend, I happened to have been a vendor at the Dream Ride, which is a motorcycle and car show in Farmington, Connecticut.
You didn't know about, correct?
I didn't know about it until a few months ago. And even when I heard about it, I was like, okay, yes, just another car show. Sure, I'll go and be a vendor at your car show. And it's not that I dragged my feet, but I couldn't really get a sense of it. And I just came back, you know, last night. I spent all weekend.
He's cured, folks.
I have some kind of indigestion because I saw so many beautiful, limited production cars. It was mind-boggling.
Limited production, by this you mean?
Well, you know, hypercars are, and we think of the brands that have been
around. These are, in fact, hypercars?
There were a lot of hypercars. There were just a lot of cars, period. And Saturday was a little different than Sunday. And just to put things in perspective, Dream Ride is an event that is meant to make money. It's the primary fundraiser for an organization called the Hometown Foundation, which was started by Mike Bozzuto about 20 years ago. It's going on 20 years. This was the 19th edition this year. And you've probably seen Bozzuto trucks around here in the tri-state area. They deliver, they are wholesalers for the food industry and I believe deliver to a lot of supermarkets and restaurants. Anyway, this foundation was started close to 20 years ago, and their main event is this called Dream Ride. And
is he a car collector?
He is a car collector. He has a beautiful collection of cars.
The reason I'm asking is there's nothing better than if you're going to do something that gives back. It gives back in a wonderful way, a passion that you have.
The organization, the Dream Ride, made, I think, they made over $2 million last year. And they, I think we're well on the way to making $2.5 million this year. They've contributed about $10 million over the last 20 years to charitable to their charitable foundation and done a lot of good in different areas. And one of them is helping kids and people with mental issues, disabilities. And on Saturday, the car ride, they have a car ride that's a 12 or 13 mile loop. And cars sign up, people sign up their cars to take this, their, you know, collector cars on a 20 minute drive and volunteer to take a Special Olympics athlete along with them for the ride. And they have this big ceremony afterwards where the kids get out of the cars as they come back and they interview the kids on a podium under a tent, and all that is projected on huge screens around the polo grounds. It is a fantastic event. It's supported by a gazillion people. I mean, when we showed up on Saturday morning in Farmington at, you know, it was early in the morning. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. We were still setting up. There were dozens of school buses at remote location parking lots ready to take people to spectate this event. The car ride is unbelievable. I was there at the start of the ride, and it, you know, the first cars got back from their 20-minute ride before the last cars left. It took a half an hour to get all the cars off. And, you know, there were Ferraris, there were Porsches, there were McLarens. I didn't even know there were so many of those cars around here. It was unbelievable.
And by here you mean
this, in our you know, tri-state area.
And did people come from far and wide, or is this pretty insular?
It's hard to tell.
We're recording on the first day of school, and I was almost run over by a bunch of Lime Rock enthusiasts who have brought their.
Well, I crossed five Mustangs on their way to Lime Rock just a few minutes ago.
Right, so exactly.
And they were going
at speed.
Well, these were, I don't know if they were at speed.
Flank speed.
But, well, the good news and bad news. The bad news is I saw a lot of very nice car haulers at the end of the weekend.
Heading over here.
Loading up all those beautiful cars. So a lot of these cars are.
They make the circuit.
They're collector items. They're pieces of art that people own. They drive very.
Sparingly.
And it's nice to see them drive them in the context of you know.
You bring it, you take it someplace special, you help out with it.
And you make people smile. And I guess in the end, it makes it worthwhile. But the number of hypercars and the hypercars that people may or may not recognize, you have the Ferrari LaFerrari, which was a hypercar produced by Ferrari, the top of the line. That they produced 500 coupes of between 2013 and 2015. And they produced a little over 200 what they call apertas, which I guess in Italian means spider or, you know, top, you know, what do we call them, targas or, you know, removable tops. and those cars, of which there are 700, I guess, in the world, there were two of them. In Farmington this weekend at Dream Ride. Neither one of them took the drive, the 20-minute drive. And these cars are worth, at auction these days, go for between $7 and $10 million each. I mean, it's unbelievable.
But again, when you are creating something for a collector, you have to, it has to be limited. And
yes.
Just to make to bring in the level of people that, to make it worthwhile, because the fact is
this columnist Peter DiLorenzo was making the case, and his article had no correlation to this event. It just happens that I read the article the same week I went to Dream Ride. The point he was making is okay, the prices for these cars go up and up. And then what? What is the next level? What do these manufacturers do to entice these ultra-rich fanatics to come and buy another car? They have to make something, you know, bigger, better, more expensive, and they're basically selling the hype. And you know, one you know, the question, the lingering question is does the market tank for these collector cars at some point? And it has in the past, you know, expensive cars.
It's a market. I mean,
it goes up. It goes up. It's like any other
market. And
right?
I always wonder, you know, there's that wonderful history begins at the point in time most convenient to the argument. And there is, in so many different arenas, selective thinking that just suits this is, it's selective, it's convenient. This is how we want to look at this right now. So we're going to forget that there's all this other stuff, or that there are just basic universal laws, for example, markets. You know, that's partially emotional. You have to want it. And so it's got to be limited, and then people have to wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate scenario is what Ford did with the Ford GT. The latest version of the Ford GT that came out, that was first produced in 2017, is a limited production, and I think I mentioned it maybe last week or a couple of weeks ago. Buyers or potential buyers had to submit applications to Ford. Not everybody with $500,000 of disposable income to purchase a car could get one. And I know people, I know one person in particular who applied, who had the previous generation Ford GT, has a bunch of supercars and hypercars, who was nixed and thrown off the list.
What's the difference between super and hyper?
Okay, so I was thinking about that coming over. So a supercar is, and this is just my interpretation of it. If you look at Ferraris, for example, which is a high-end brand, they have three or four models in their current lineup, or maybe a bit more. They have the 488 that you can either have as a coupe or as a spider. They have the 812, which is the top-of-the-line front-engine V12 car that they have. And those are produced in certain numbers. So I don't know what Ferrari's production is actually these days, but it's probably a couple thousand cars a year, maybe a bit more. It was 2,000 cars a few years ago. It might be a little bit more than that now. The point is, you can go and order one of those cars, and they usually cost, you know, between $250,000 and $300,000, $400,000. Those are supercars. Then you have the hypercars. They have these limited production where they cram in all the technology they can think of. They have make more power you don't need any of the power of those cars, but it's just overkill on every front.
So it's luxury.
It's,
well, not luxury. That's the wrong word, because that's its
and
own
again,
thing.
It's,
but
it
is
there
hyper.
Is it's very exclusive.
Yep.
And
which is its purpose,
and they're also the cars that showcase what the company can do. And so you had historically in the Ferrari line, you had the F40, you had the F50. They were all limited production cars.
Are all hypercars limited production?
And then the last
production?
One before the LaFerrari was the Enzo. and the Enzo will bring me to a side subject, and a little more gloomy subject of hypercars is that. There are stories of, you know, of the limited production of Enzos. There are quite a few less on the road now than there were when they came out, because
people keep crashing them.
People have crashed them notoriously. There have been very bad crashes with serious consequences, and I guess that's a problem with really ultra high horsepower cars. I mean, we're talking 600-700 horsepower, and. Chrysler has done that with their latest, Challengers and what's their RT cars? You know, where they put. Are you okay? sorry. The 700-800 horsepower in a brand new car that you can buy for a reasonable amount of money is just crazy. People have gotten killed, have killed themselves, driving off. Dealer parking lots with new cars. The power of these cars is just insane. And yes, they have no business being on open roads.
Aren't they wisely, when they're purchased wisely, are they not for the collector or for the, or do people buy them to drive them?
Yes, but if they drive them, do you want it? No, not on the sawmill. You want to drive them on a racetrack, and that's why we have racetrack, and that's why we have track days.
It would just seem like that would be the intelligent.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that. You just mentioned you crossed a bunch of cars going to Lime Rock.
As did you.
As did I. And so I think there's a difference between people who buy cars to collect them, to look at them as pieces of art, and people who want to drive their cars and who race their cars or drive them on a racetrack.
Right, but I just want to say responsibly for 1 second. You know, you might buy a super – you may buy a ridiculously high-performance car, but is there a way to not crash it as you're bringing it home?
Well, yeah. You bring it home in the hauler like the people –
That's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like it's not something that you drive down the – the sawmill.
If you do, you do so very slowly. I mean, once in a while, you do see very nice cars on the highway, and honestly, most of the time, these very expensive cars are driven very responsibly because
no one really wants to have that story. We all
of crashing an Enzo. No,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay,
the interesting part. I mean, what I was surprised is to see that what. People were looking at these cars. People wanted to listen to these cars. And we can tie in this with the, we talk a lot about the future of electric cars and how great they are. There's one thing electric cars don't do is make the sound that these supercars and hypercars make. And every time one of these cars was started this weekend, you saw gazillion people
light
just
up.
Lining up around the back of the car with their phones and cameras on their sticks and just taping the car. And the guy, the driver just revving the car and making the rev limiter pop, and it makes a great popping sound. And it's a little, it's totally useless, doesn't accomplish anything. But it's fun. People respond to it.
We need to talk about the Historic Fest.
We absolutely do need to talk about Historic.
And before the thing also is about whenever we talk about electric, I just have to go back for 1 second. Weren't cars originally electric by and large?
I think there were a few cars around the turn of the century, around 1900. The turn of the last century that were electric. But they were long gone before
gasoline engine.
Yes.
Okay.
And just
thought I would mention the fact that we were bringing back something that actually was.
And as far as on a 2 second sidetrack here about electric cars, there is a hyper electric car that just is making its way to the market. Now, when I say making it to the market, I don't know how many will be built.
Does it sound limited production. Do they add sound effects to it?
No, they don't. It's a 2,000 horsepower Lotus. Wow. It's just mind-boggling. And it's a beautiful car.
But I will say this. Lotus has been around.
Lotus has been around, but this has gone way far beyond what Colin Chapman, who was the creator of the original Lotus back in the 50s and 60s, had imagined. Colin Chapman's vision of a sports car was, quite the opposite. It was a very light, small, fun sports car. And actually, Colin Chapman's cars were the inspiration for the Mazda Miata, arguably.
Makes sense if you, again, do any context.
So again, a lot of enthusiasts at Dream Ride, a lot of young people, a lot of people interested in current production cars. So a little different from what we're going to see at Lime Rock this coming weekend on different fronts. As Lime Rock is a 3 or 4 day weekend. Things start on Friday. They pick up with a lot of racing going on both Saturday and Monday, Labor Day Monday. And they will have a car show as well on Sunday, which, as we know, is a no-making-noise day at Lime Rock. And that will give people the opportunity to see the cars up close. But, of course, the theme is a little different. The theme is a vintage festival, and there will be a lot more history in the sense there will be cars from way back, turn of the last century.
But so vintage probably draws a broader, as well, yes?
Oh, vintage draws crazy number right. of people. And it's mind-boggling. I mean, last year there were, I don't know how many Bugattis, again.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a Bugatti theme this year, but I'm sure there'll be a few of them. And I can only encourage people to go see these cars because even though, you know, as we move on with the, you know, the cars have been around for over 100 years now, and we tend to associate with cars that were relevant when we were younger. I mean, I tend to like cars of the 60s and 70s.
Is that pretty common that people associate with the cars that they grew up
with? I think so. So you'll see, but not exclusively, but I think it's a kind of a normal thing.
Okay.
But again, you know, you will see a lot of different cars from different eras at Lime Rock this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, with racing going on Saturday and Monday.
Are any of these vintage cars raced?
Heck yeah. And actually, that's the great thing about racing. I mean, I draw a line between cars that are actually used, about car manufacturers that produce even hypercars. If you don't go racing, you're not a hypercar manufacturer. You're just selling, you know, it's just an exercise in futility, in my opinion. Manufacturers like Ferrari, Porsche, you know, have been making race cars for the better part of 50, 60, 70 years. And then there are more contemporary manufacturers like McLaren. McLaren only started making street cars in the 1990s, and then they went away from making street cars for a bit, and now they have three or four models in their lineup. But McLaren has been racing cars since the 1960s, so there's history in racing. Yes, people race their vintage cars, and those are the diehards and the guys I have a lot of respect for, people who bring in old cars, sometimes very expensive cars, and actually race them. And we'll see a lot of that on Saturday and Monday at the track as well.
And do you want to just skip the safety tips, except to say to people, be aware that there are flying cars heading up and down. And same thing for, again, cyclists of all varieties. You know, it's just...
I think everybody
has to share.
You got to share the road. And, you know, weekends like we had this past weekend and next weekend, if you're in this area, you know, keep in mind that there will be a lot of cars that are going to be on the road that usually are not.
And also people that don't necessarily know.
Try to show some respect and
vice versa. But there are people who don't necessarily know the area, so they'll come flying over a hill and a dip. And
well, hopefully they won't be flying over the hills. You know, most of them are responsible people, but I guess that car collectors and car owners are like a sample of...
They're like kids.
Like people... Yeah, they're like kids.
I mean, and on your way to an event, it's kind of exciting. Come on.
Yeah.
So there's an enthusiasm that sometimes, you know.
Enthusiasm is good, though.
That's the whole point of the exercise.
Yeah. I think
that's what you want.
The car biz is, from that standpoint, in good shape.
Without enthusiasm, you got nothing. Right?
Right.
He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.